The Magic Podcast. Hosted by Lloyd Barnes and Craig Petty. Your all-access, behind-the-scenes insight into the current happenings of the magic industry. Where Craig and Lloyd will thrust themselves deep inside your ears every Wednesday to rant, dissect, and give you their raw and unfiltered views on the art of magic. So, lock your door, take out your deck, and brace yourself for the Magic Podcast.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Magic Podcast. You thought we were dead. You thought you would never see us again. Unfortunately, despite Lloyd's best efforts, we're back and we're bigger and better than before. I'm Craig.
I'm Lloyd.
And he's so excited to be on the podcast. I think monthly suits him because he kind of needs a month between conversations with me just to recover.
It wasn't a month ago. We did the last one.
We haven't done one since before Blackpool. Last time we did one, we were getting excited about Blackpool. And the last one we did, we were getting excited about the session. I think we fucked Blackpool off completely.
No, did we? No,
we did a little thing about Blackpool. But if you remember, you were supposed to do a really long Black Arts podcast special as well with Jake. And Jake was looking around and saying, oh, I was like, ha ha, Jake, welcome to my world, motherfucker. You never get jilted. You're the beautiful side chick that like gets all of his attention whilst I get fucking binned all the time. Now he's like, I wouldn't be surprised. This is how it starts, Jake. First of all, he's like, oh, I can't do this one. I can't do it this way. Next thing you know, he's going to announce he's got a podcast with another younger, hotter, fresher podcast host than you, Mr. Keen. That's how it fucking works.
I'm a podcast whore. I like to start them, but I don't like to finish them. just like my love life.
Well, how are you? It's been a while. We should tell people we are still doing the podcast, but Lloyd's been especially busy recently. I've been especially busy recently. We're trying to do it every Wednesday, but it's not always possible. So what we're trying to do instead is we'll just get one out when we can get one out, and we'll try to make it weekly, but if not, we're not going anywhere. We will continue to do them. It's just, at the moment, things are busy with you. Things are busy with Murphy's. Things are busy with me. And it's just 2024 is skyrocketed. Would you agree with that?
You're always busy. Always busy, but you have very good time management. I will say that. I don't know how you do it.
I have a very organized wife.
Yeah, that's a good point.
She tells me where I've got to go, what I've got to do, and how long to do it. So
what has been happening in the world then? Like, I am so off the boil. I don't even know.
I'm a little bit depressed.
Products are out.
I don't think
who's feuding? Who hates each other?
Yeah, I don't think I've pissed anyone off recently. Unfortunately, I'm trying my hardest, but everyone, I need some more haters because the old lot are starting to like me. Yeah, I need a fresh group of haters.
We need to cause some drama.
Yeah, we need to kick some tables over and cause some shit. I don't know. There was not even any drama at Blackpool. Well, there was. There was this one guy that was slagging off Magic Sam's wife for the Battle Cabaret, but you know
why.
I don't know. It was a long, ridiculous thing. Basically, he put a post of Magicians Only saying, oh, it was the funniest post in the world because he was moaning about the Battle Cabaret. And the thing he chose to moan about is, oh, there were girls there that were getting their boobs out. Nobody wants to see boobs at a magic convention. And I'm thinking, they fucking do. It's a magic convention. It's full of 80% virgins who have never known sex in their life. It's full of people with no girlfriend. I'm telling you right now, if you gave them a tick box thing where they could pick what they want to see, boobs would be very high up on that list.
You know that most of them were going home thinking, what happened at the convention last weekend? And all they think it was, I seen tits, so that's good. But honestly, I'm guessing that they didn't know what... I didn't see it, but I Magic Sam has always hosted Beat the Wand, and last year, Luke Osman was there with a rubber cock hanging out, so...
Yep, yes, he was.
I mean...
You've got to expect that, so...
If you go know that they weren't fake or something? Maybe they were, I don't know, but...
Yeah, if you go to Battle Cabaret...
You go to something hosted by Magic Sam, you're seeing genitalia.
You are.
Right?
That's
all that matters. The reason you go.
And also, you know, I'm very respectful to everybody, but, you know, if you're going to see any boobs, Sam's wife, who was the owner of the boobs in question, she's really, really, I mean, Sam's punching, you know, Sam is punching. She's just like out of everyone's league. She should be with like some sort of like freaking, you know, like super Hollywood actor type person. Like she should be the wife of a soccer player or something. So
it's just bizarre to complain about a pair of tits in a room filled with cunts.
Well, because it's
I am, you know, I'm part of this fraternity. I'm also a cunt. No offense to anybody. We're all
me
bastards.
Too. Loud and proud about it. But no, I don't think.
Also, welcome to the Magic Podcast. If you're a first time listener, brace your pussies. This is going to get graphic. Sorry.
Get out your bingo cards. We're moving on to Nardi's balls next.
Nardi's.
Oh, talking about. It's not a thing, but Nardi's about Nardi and his spherical little
love spuds. Yeah.
The Nard stuff.
Little pods filled with bollock yogurt.
Yeah. and the fruit of the bollock yogurt, Harry and Pete have launched Alakazam Unlimited.
Oh yeah, I've heard about this.
Buzzing. They've signed up 750 people in the first few days. It's basically
blimey.
Streaming.
Are you supposed to be sharing those numbers publicly?
Well, they posted it on the internet. They posted the only reason I know that is I saw a reel where it was like, thank you to over 750 people that signed up to it. So, you know, I'm basing it off. I don't have inside information on this. I'm basing it off a Facebook post.
Got it.
But, you know, the price is really good. To pay £5. You pay £5 a month. And you get access to a big chunk of the back catalogue of Alakazam's, you know, their back catalogue is probably one of the biggest in the world. They've been releasing Magic for 30 years. You think about it, you've got stuff like, you know, they've got all the Tom Peterson stuff. They've got all of the James Brown stuff. They've got all of the Michael Vincent stuff. They've got a lot of the Will Houston stuff. They've got all of the early Ben Earle stuff. They've got all the Mark Paul stuff. Like the amount of material they've got is insane. And what they're doing is chopping it up into individual tricks and putting them out up on... putting them up on Unlimited. It launches with over 100 tricks. They're adding new stuff every single week. Plus, they've got exclusive content as well. They've got new... It's not just the old stuff. They've got new things coming out as well. Interviews with people. New tricks. When I go down in April, they've asked me to film some stuff for it. So it's a really good deal, man. It's a really, really, really...
What is the deal?
It's £5 and you get access to everything. That's it.
Oh, fucking hell, yeah, that's really good. Fuck me.
£5.
That's really good.
Really,
really, really good.
So they've really hit it out the park, and then some. So Alakazam Unlimited is here. Jamie has joined Alakazam full time and has been spearheading it. And yeah, it's doing really, really well. There's some amazing stuff in Unlimited as well. You know, there's some amazing stuff there. I was saying to Nemid yesterday, I was out filming, ironically, for the project that you and I are bringing out next, that joint project. So I was getting live performances.
Oh, yeah.
Me and Nemid were running around the mean streets of Manchester getting live performances of this particular project. And I said to Nemid, I said, I honestly think right now, for a long time, Alakazam was always really big back in the day. And then I think it kind of dropped down a little bit. I don't think it was as big as it was. I think it went through a bit of a... I think Pete was just like coasting, I think. And...
I think it must have been when Harry was young, or maybe when Harry was born, probably started to chill a bit.
Yeah, chill a bit, but...
I'd assume, I don't know, because I remember like they were big when like around 2007, they were fucking huge. And I'm not sure when Harry was born, but probably he would have been young then.
But then for the last few years, I think it's been Penguin and Vanishing Ink that those two has been the two biggest in the world. But I think that Alakazam are probably level with, if not slightly overtaken, Vanishing Ink at that point. They're bringing out more product. I can't think of a bad Alakazam product. Their social media is off the chart. Like their Facebook reach is probably 15 times that of Vanishing Ink.
Are they opening up a US warehouse now as well?
They're opening up a US warehouse. their podcast is, they've just launched a podcast. They've got their YouTube shows. They've got everything. I just think that they're absolutely killing it. I think that they are the number one company when it comes to embracing social media, embracing new ideas. I just think it's...
Yeah, I love Alec Azam. Yeah. Love them.
They're doing great. But outside of Alakazam, and obviously the Blackpool Magic Convention, which I don't want to spend too much time talking about it because...
Yesterday's news, mate.
Well, it's yesterday's news. And obviously, you and your side chick, Jake, spent a long time talking about it. So, you know, there's no point getting you to tread over old ground. You kind of, if people...
I don't mind going over it, but it's up to you. I'm trying to think, what can we talk about?
Well, are you going to the Magic Circle convention? They've announced the Magic Circle convention in May.
May. Who's lecturing there?
They've started to announce names.
And drop some knowledge on me.
I'm going to drop some knowledge on you. Hang on a minute. Let me just get into the Magic Circle Facebook page. By the way, I have to say that since Marvin Burglass has been president of the Magic Circle, I just think that the circle has been everywhere. I really do think that. I think that the circle has been, like, I think that the press around the Magic Circle has been amazing. But they haven't announced all the names yet, but what they have announced is doing a lecture and performing in the gala show is James Friedman.
Sweet.
Who is an awesome pickpocket, as you know. They've also announced, they've only announced three names so far. They've also announced Richard Griffin, who is an incredible stage magician, obviously.
Wicked.
And Michael Vincent, they've announced, doing a brand new, never seen before lecture. And then the other person that they've announced, which I've never, this could be quite interesting. We are thrilled to announce we have Magical Royalty joining us this year with an exclusive lecture and Q&A session that promises to be the highlight of 2024's Magical Calendar, a life sawn in half by the lovely Debbie McGee. She's going to be on stage talking about her career, as you know, which spanned 40 years as one half of the most successful on-stream partnership of all time. At its peak, Paul Daniels' magic show attracted audiences of 15 million. And now, as wife, magical assistant, confidant, and a performer in her own right, we're delighted to welcome Debbie to the circle to hear all about it in her own words, telling it all, a no-holds-barred, for the first time with warmth, humor, and loads of giggles. You'll like this quite a lot.
Wow, that's really interesting. That's going to be great.
I think so.
That's going to be very interesting. The insights from, like, you know, when you're, well, obviously she's a part, big part of the act. It's, you know, it's a duo as much as it was Paul Daniels. But I always think, like, you know, when you're a passenger in a car, I suppose you don't drive, do you? But when you're a passenger in a car versus when you pass your driving test, like, yeah. People will get lost going to places when they're driving, going to places that they've driven for 10 years before as a passenger, because you, from the different perspective points, and you see things or don't see things, you know, from, which is quite, I'm just like, you know, it's obviously pointed out the obvious, but yeah, to see and hear about magic from her point of view as somebody who wasn't the direct focal point, I think it's fascinating, maybe even more fascinating than listening to 1,000 other lecturers who are the front man of the show. So that might be worth going for just on its own. Probably is going to be a highlight. Very, very cool.
I agree. I absolutely agree. 100%.
Oh yeah, I might go then.
I think it's going to be worth it. She doesn't lecture very often. I think it'll be a one-off. I think it's going to be great. Also, I have to give a big shout out to the Wessex Magic Convention. The Wessex Magic Convention has been one of my favorite conventions for as long back as I remember. And they always get some great lecturers and they always put a great gala show on. They do a one-day convention every 2 years. I was lecturing there 2 years ago and I've been invited back. But I'm looking at the lineup, mate, for this year's convention. It's a one-day convention. It runs all through the day, and there's a gala show in the evening. This looks to me probably the best value in Magic right now. Right. Tickets are 30 quid, right?
Yeah.
First of all, there's a really nice session vibe there. Like, everybody's chilling out. There's lots of tables, and, you know, you can just sit down and chill out and session with people, which I know you like. There's the dealer hall. I don't know which dealers are going to be there, but I know definitely 100% Alakazam are there because Pete told me. But it's a decent dealer hall. But there's four lecturers. So listen to this as a lineup for four lecturers for a one-day convention. You've got me doing a brand new lecture. I've never done this lecture before. So it's me doing a brand new lecture. Then lecturer number two, Oliver Tabor. You know Oliver Tabor, obviously, who has literally won it all and then some. I think one of the best stage magicians in the world. Then you've got Luke Jermay.
Yeah, so good.
And then finally, in his first lecture in about 5 or 6 years, you've got James Brown.
Fuck off. Is Brownie lecturing?
Yeah, look. That's your lineup there.
What?
His first lecture in 5 years, you got James Brown lecturing.
Oh,
you got James Brown, you got me, you've got Luke Jermay, and you've got Oliver Tabor.
Fucking hell.
And then the gala show in the evening, you've got Oliver Tabor and Wayne Trice doing their West End magic show that they tour the West End with. You've got Jay and Josh, who at this point are considered one of the top illusion acts in the UK. You got Ryland doing his Harry Potter act, which like just everybody loved at the Blackpool Magic Convention. And finally, you got Catherine Rhodes, who, you know, everybody knows Catherine, superstar, superstar magician. So the lineup for the gala show is absolutely incredible. But the lineup for the day, Jesus. One day, 30 quid.
30 quid. 30 yeah. fucking quid.
30 Jesus quid. Christ. Dealer hall. 30 quid. Dealer hall. Four lecturers.
I'm just Googling. I think I've searched for this before, haven't I? You did it like a couple of years ago, didn't you?
Yeah, I did it like 2 years ago. You couldn't make it.
Let me see. How far away is it from me house? Let me see.
As good as my lecture is going to be, it's going to be worth it just to see James Brown.
Yeah.
It's been years since he's done a lecture. There's an entire generation of magicians that have come into magic since before COVID that have never even seen James Brown lecture.
He was the first lecture I think I ever saw, ever, at the session 2007.
He's incredible. He's incredible.
Three and a half fucking hours away. I'm out. No chance. Not happening.
Oh, get some with you.
No, I might go. I actually might go. I'm just Googling how close to my sister-in-law's it is. Because we'd probably just go down there for the weekend, you know what I mean? And then no, I can drive over.
Area, Bournemouth, you know, it's...
Oh, Jesus Christ, it's fucking two and a quarter hours from there. Fuck. Oh. So far away.
Bungle Sam Sugarman in the car and come and watch James do his thing.
No, bastard. Three.
Last two times.
Is there an airport? I know it sounds ridiculous. Is there an airport close to there?
You really are a lazy bastard, aren't you?
Oh, I'm just so sick of traveling.
How are you so sick of traveling? You spend 90% of your time in your house.
No, I mean, like, from the years that I like just spent circling the globe on an airplane.
Oh, right. Okay. Yeah. You did travel more than anybody in the old days.
It's close to the fucking Isle of Wight than my house. We'll see.
Oh.
When is it? When is it?
24th, Sunday, the 24th of March, 2 weeks' time.
Oh, shit. I'm probably not going. I'll be honest with you. I'm not going to lie.
Fair enough.
I really want to go. Like, I'm there in mind and spirit, but my body cannot make it.
No, no, it's fine. I'll tell James that you couldn't be honest.
But anyone who lives closer than I do that's up for the journey, 30 quid, seems like they're cutting themselves short, to be honest.
Well, I think it'll be an incredible convention. I think it's one of the best conventions I've seen. It's out there on the South Coast. I think it's going to be really good. I really do.
Mm-hmm. It sounds phenomenal.
Yeah, I'm very...
So that's the... Any other conventions upcoming?
No, those are the only two that really... Chris Congreve has got his Midlands convention. He's got... have you seen that one?
No, but I hear good things about this one all the time.
Yeah, well, it's the first one. It's a convention in the Midlands. So it's
I thought this had been on before.
No, it's the
Midlands
convention.
The
first one he's ever done.
Am I thinking of then?
No idea. Absolutely not. I'm trying to find some information on it for you. It's on the 13th and the 14th of April. I know that much. And tickets are going well. It's £75 for a ticket. It's a 2-day convention. And these are the lecturers that he's got over the 2 days. You'll actually be impressed with this. So 5-star lecturers and a dealer showcase. Are you ready for the 5 lecturers?
Yeah.
Over the 2 days. Mark Elston.
Oh, my God. I sent him a bunch of stuff yesterday.
Gary Jones.
Oh, fuck. He's incredible.
Roadhog?
Do I...
Roadhog. You know, Roadhog. He's like this underground card guy. Everybody knows or seen his stuff. Is very good.
Rodhog,
yeah, sorry, Rodhog.
What the fuck? I was thinking, I did a Rodhog.
Yeah, Rodhog.
Rodhog.
His close friends call him Rude, just so you know. So you got Mark Elston, okay. Gary Jones, Rodhog, and then I've left the two big names for the last. Michael Murray.
Piss off.
Who never lectures. And then James Brown doing his second lecture.
Fuck off.
Yeah.
When is this?
13th and the 14th of April.
Oh, shit. I'm in Cockermouth at some point then.
Cockermouth.
Cockermouth. That's not a fucking Welsh. That's a northern town.
Oh, is it? All right. Yeah. Yeah. In Wales, you got cock and sheep.
Cocking gob. We go. Oh, when I'm up there, on the 8th, I think, or Friday the 5th to the 8th, maybe. When is it, the 12th?
Yeah.
Man, that seems... And where is it?
It's like literally 2 minutes away from my house. It's in Cannock. It's literally just off junction. It's literally just off junction. Junction 11 of the M6.
Oh, man, I really want to go to this one.
And
it's like a month away,
right next to the venue, because the venue that he's booked is where they hold the society in. The Midlands called 3SM, which stands for the South Staffordshire Society of Magicians. And the venue is where 3SM used to hold their meetings. They don't anymore. And there's a hotel right there, really nice hotel.
Do you know, I think I probably will go to this one because it's not as far and it's in like a month's time.
And Gary Jones, Mark Elston.
Yeah.
Og. James Brown.
Ah, piss, yeah. I think that means I'm going. Thanks for letting me know about this one.
Don't worry.
I haven't had a fucking clue.
What I'm here for. This isn't the podcast. It's me, like, managing your life. So, you're welcome.
I'm going to start calling you Sarah.
I do want to talk to you about something, though. I'm kind of interested in your opinion on something. And I know you don't ever... Yeah, and I'm actually really interested in this. I know you don't ever really take any... I know you don't really ever listen to or take notice of anything Illusionist put out. But I put a blog out yesterday. And as somebody who does a lot of tech magic and as somebody who is kind of interested in the tech side of magic, and I know a lot of tech-based magic gets you wet, they put a... come on, you're the app king.
I'm fucking not.
You literally single-handedly set up the whole app system for Murphys. They wouldn't be releasing apps if it wasn't for you.
Yeah, but I'm not. I don't know. Right, cool. What's this anyway, wrong about?
So what was kind of interesting is I want to know your opinion on this. They say that digital magic has reached its saturation point, and they're saying, as they walked around the dealer hall in Blackpool, everyone has an app, everyone has an impression device, everyone has a Bluetooth device. It's impossible to keep up with what it does, who's got the best version of anything. Without naming names, two different technology tricks were shown to me, and they both failed. The first was someone failing to get a peek of my word, and the second fail was someone who asked me to go as far away as I wanted, write a word. I came back, and they said, my pen disconnected, we'll have to do that again. And the thought that came into my brain was, a billet peek would never fail in these situations. And as sure as shit, Adam Casper was going around the convention using a clean billet peek to fool everyone. And then they go on to say, I think technology has a place in magic to facilitate, but in many cases, it's jumped the shark in terms of how it's being used. This kind of magic is being presented in a very linear process. You type it in my phone, I'll tell you what it is, magic. You write it down with my special pen, I'll tell you what it is, magic. No, that's not magic. This is a very linear presentation that signals how saturated digital magic is. There are apps for app's sake and devices for the sake of having a device. Pete Turner and Mark Lemon taught me about a philosophy in mentalism called technology in, technology out. The basic concept here is that you shouldn't use technology for both the method and the revelation. If you use it for input, you shouldn't use it for output and vice versa. Using technology in this way helps mask methods and make it the magic and mentalism more impressive. Over the next few years, buyers will catch on to this saturation. And after their third peak device and their 50th magic app, they'll realize they've got enough already. Almost everything is a cycle. And I believe the overuse of digital methods is going to create a wave towards more analog methods as people get sick of saturation and go searching for an alternative. Of course, there are good apps and good devices that will stand out. But I think people are going to move away from these types of props and methods in the coming months and years. And that comes off the back of Mark Lemon just releasing what a lot of people are saying is the underground hit of the Blackpool Magic Convention, which is his system for, you know, basically being able to do anything with a spectator's phone, and more apps and more technology-based things being released on almost a daily basis. So somebody who has put a lot of time into, you know, Lux was a technical marvel, and a lot of the apps that you've bought out, Maxim and Cognito, and you've been involved in others as well, pre-Murphys and post-Murphys. I want to know what your thought is on that.
First of all, it rings of trying to market Adam Casper's new Bill Peak, which is really, really good. Billet Peak, which is really good. So it sounds like it's just a bit of a marketing blog to get people excited about that if they've probably picked some up wholesale, possibly. But it just, more than anything, it sounds, you know, like that Charles Duhigg quote, everything that can be invented has been invented in, from 1899. And it's not that there's a such, there is, it's sorting the wheat from the chaff, isn't it? It's like the same as card trick. There's a you could say this is about every single facet of magic. There's a saturation of card tricks. Most of them are pick a card, find a card. There's a saturation of A cards, saturation of coin tricks, saturate. There's oversaturation in every field of magic because it's more about, so it, in the field of magic, everybody wants to create and release magic. It's not like everybody does, but yeah, it seems that, you know, there's hardly any, I can't think of many magicians that haven't shown me at least one thing they've created. Whereas in other fields, you know, like music, there's millions of cover bands and thousands of music enthusiasts that go to concerts and things that don't play at all or don't, you know, write music. Going a bit on a tangent there. But yeah, it's a bit of a short-sighted blog to write. And ultimately, you can't put things in boxes. Like I know what people, Mark is saying, and like they're really dear, good, close friends of mine, like magic in versus magic out. But to you, you've got, there has to be exploration and you've got to keep pushing. And I always think that there's the saying, there's no such thing as a bad idea. I just hold that so dear to my heart, because the more and more you push and more you try, and the more sometimes you create something and you think it's absolutely pointless creating it, the more you end, eventually you will end up in blue ocean territory where you break through the barrier. And you end up with something completely unique. I often think things like Luba you know, and Paul Harris, the way they would create some things, and they're known for their incredible magic. But if you look at some of the rest of their body of work, not everything is wild. Like, not every, and this is not to say they're not the best, like, creators, the most creative magicians in history. You know, they're up there on the upper echelons of the gods. But there's certain, you know, that you can look through their back catalog, and there's certain things you go, oh yeah, well, I don't even know why they put that in there or why they included that. And I often see that about a lot of magic creations, whether it's apps, playing card tricks, coin tricks, anything these days. You've got to kind of just get it all out there. You've got to just, if it's in your head, let it exist, put it out there in some way, shape, or form. And then it goes into like that collective conscience of the magic fraternity, and it ends up pushing the envelope forward. It pushes the baseline that little bit more forward every single time. And one man's trash is another man's treasure. So yeah, there's a lot of, like, I look around, like, I created Cypher with Will Jones back in the day. We were the first ones to do it. And I look around now and there's 30 different calculator apps that came after it.
Yeah.
Doesn't bother me, because somebody's going to create one which truly is unique and different from the rest. But you've got to have those people exploring, recreating, tweaking little bits different here and there to come up with the new version. And it's the same as going to be with any of my apps, or any of, you see any other app creators out there. Rarely like a new principle brought in. I think that's the reason why my apps have been so successful, because I always try to bring something new to them. They're not, you know, ripoffs of other people's. And I don't mean ripoff. Some apps are just blatant ripoffs. Some are derivatives and things. But I just think it's funny, isn't it? Like, you look at the mobile phone and tech industry, they don't have any qualms with it. It's a part and parcel of it with tech that you do just directly copy something, and you copy it and add one, like a John Christopher, a 1 degree change to something. And after thousands of iterations and models and different pieces of hardware, somebody will break through the barrier and they'll have something that gets the world excited. So look, all the different VR tech out there, eventually Apple comes out with the new Vision Pro or whatever it's called. So it's just that Charles Duhigg quote, everything that can be invented has been invented. Again, more power to people. I say, just keep going, keep pushing. And next year there will be a piece of technology that everyone is excited about. And like, you can say, like, the mindset of nothing will beat the classics, nothing will beat peak in a billet. Possibly true in its own context. But then how many people I talk constantly about the anecdote where, you know, if they know they've written something down on the billet, when they go home, when they go to bed at night, and they really ask themselves that deep question, did he read my mind? Because I did it did actually leave my thoughts. I did actually write it down, you know. Mm-hmm. Are they 100% convinced when you use the classic methods? I'd wager no. But if somehow there was a clever way of using tech where they never do and it hides the method beautifully and it's clever, would they be more inclined to believe what you're doing is real?
Yes. I'm not just blowing smoke up here. Regarding the technology in and technology out, my favorite app still is Cognito. I love it. I love the moment of revelation when they realize what they're looking at. I've not found anything that achieves that moment. It's incredible. And I'm not just saying it. I've raved about Cognito since the second that you brought it out. And that's an example of technology in, technology out. The input is used.
I actually don't use the reveal, even though I love the reveal. It was created by Owen, the co-creator of the app of me. I don't use the reveal, but I have. Yeah, I've seen the absolute freakouts, like the runaway screams it gets.
Yeah, it does.
There's no denying it, because they literally have no idea that you can even know what they're thinking because of the principles at play, and then they get that shock, but. Yeah, I mean, what are we performing magic for as well? Like, there's no denying, and I, there's other apps that do this. So I'm only talking about my own thing because it's relevant to me. But please don't think that I'm being egotistical. But there's no denying that, like, when you perform Cognito as the basic, think of any card, is it on screen, and then suddenly they just see it like without spoiling it for people. I'm trying not to if they haven't seen it, but like then they just sort of see that it's been staring them right in their face the entire time. There's no denying that that gets people screaming and shouting and like running away. And if that breaks the rule of technology, you shouldn't use technology in, technology out. It's all encompassing within that one effect. And if that's not good enough for your performances, if you don't want people, you know, if people freaking out and screaming and swearing and telling people about it as well, because there's a lot of magic, it's important that they remember it. If that's not good enough, then what the fuck is?
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
I don't know.
Talking about Mark Lemon, and that was very
genius, Mark Lemon.
I want to ask you two questions, because obviously I was very busy at the Magic at Blackpool Magic Convention. I was running around from dealer stand to backstage, having my head chopped off. There was a lot going on that I didn't have time to really see anybody. But obviously he released this rather expensive technology-based thing at Blackpool.
I'm him,
which a lot of people are speculating about. A lot of people are talking about. A lot of people are saying, hey, you know, it's very expensive. And then other people are saying, oh my God, it is the ultimate thing ever. Like,
it
as
is.
Somebody who's very close to Mark, and you know, I know you know him quite well. What's your thoughts on it?
Well, I don't know how much I'm at liberty to say, but this was kept off the market for at least 5 years because somebody thought it was so incredible they made sure of it. I don't want to fucking say anything else, but in a positive way. It wasn't like, you know, held up illegally. This was like, oh my God, nobody else should be allowed to use this bar me. So for 5 years it was kept away from all of the magicians because it was deemed to be too incredible. I think I may have touched upon it after the session 2 years ago when Mark was showing me the latest version of it. And yeah, like it's so good that it should, and it does kind of feel illegal, even though it's not. I don't know what information is out there in the world about it, but
there's a cafe thread, obviously. You know,
is there any information about what it does? Have they shared that on there?
Would involve me actually going on the cafe. Give me one second.
No, don't fucking bother. Don't bother. Don't bother. Yeah, it depends. Like, you've got to be into tech magic to some extent to get the most out of it, I'd say. If you are, I don't know. It's hard to go too much into. Does it say about what it does? Are you looking on there now?
Yeah, people are talking. There's a thread that links to a Vimeo thing, and there's an actual link on there that runs through to this video, which is IMIM demonstration, and it's a video is a brief run, 14-minute video, a brief run through of a small selection of things that are possible with this powerful system for magicians. So it links.
Okay.
Through to
so it's literally just showing
then,
you everything.
And then people are saying, "Wow, thanks for sharing so many possibilities. Wow, I'm assuming that you can hack into a spectator's phone. Looks phenomenal. You know, it looks very expensive. Want to loan me £800? I can't pay." You know, people are speculating about it, as you would expect on the cafe. But it looks like it's kind of out there as to what it is.
Right. Yeah. Well, I just watched that video very briefly. I clicked through it. Yeah. Basically, it allows you to gain almost pretty much, because there's not much else you would want to do unless you were going to be a dirty pervert and go through people's photos and private information. It gives you pretty much full control over somebody's phone within seconds. So I could stand next to you, Craig. I could perform a trick, and then your phone is in your fucking pocket. I have full control over your phone. And then couple that with it's been developed by Mark Kirstein as well, so that there's basically you've got just like one touch you know, you with one touch, it does all the work for you, whether it's predicting things in notes or calculators or unlocking the phone, changing this, that, and the other. It's all seamless. It's all perfectly made. It's polished to fuck. And yeah, so that's basically it. It's 800 quid. You get a special piece of tech. So it's a physical piece of tech that you need, but it's tiny. And if you want complete, you know, 99%, it feels like, control over somebody's phone to make predictions or read their mind and just do impossible weird shit to it, then this is the one thing that exists that does that.
Have you got it? Would you get it?
Mark said he'd send me one. So I don't fucking spend out on magic. I got a kid.
You're Lloyd Barnes. Fucking
would hell. I probably wouldn't, because it's not the style of magic that I would do with a phone. Like, if I'm being 100% truthful, you know what I mean? Like, I wouldn't spend and perform that, because it's just not the style of performance that I incorporate. Even though it can do everything, I very much do like my own shit, you know? So it's very hard. The rare occasions when I do perform, it's normally testing out new material of my own that I'm working on. So, like, that's just completely honest point of view, I probably wouldn't, but that's because I'm in a unique circumstance. If I was performing at events, or I was performing full time on a regular basis, and I was just looking to completely fuck my audience up, I'd probably, like, this might be the only thing I carry around with me, bar a deck of cards, because it can do so much and it's so powerful. There really is nothing else like it out there.
Wow. That's insane.
It's like, it gives you the power to do the type of shit that when you see magicians doing on TV, you go, oh, there's a fucking stooge, or that's set up in advance, or there's no way that's possible. They must have known this. They must have done that. They must have switched the phone. But the reality is, it's just using this device.
That sounds amazing.
It's incredible. It is incredible.
I want to ask you one more question, because Mark Lemon seems to be everywhere at the moment.
Yes.
Bo Kramer, I haven't, while I've been on this call with you, so while we've been filming the podcast, Bo Kramer has just posted into the launch, Murphy's launch group, the Chroma by Mark Lemon. What is Chroma?
Nice. What is it?
Here is Mark's new release, Chroma. Mm-hmm. Keep in mind, this isn't out till Saturday, so keep it all hush hush. But as you're in the launch group, you get to see the official trailer right now.
Cool. I love it.
Do you know what it is?
Yeah, it's a really cool thing. It's just a card that you keep in your wallet, literally like a business card. And it's a Stroop test. So it's got colors, but written in the words of colors, like black, red, yellow, green, blue, but written in different colors. And in short, you have someone think of any color and you time them to see how many times they can see it written on the thing. Okay. And then immediately you know what color they're thinking of, and it feels completely impossible. Like, it shouldn't, it really shouldn't be achievable. And it's really fucking easy to do. The beauty of it is it stays in your wallet. And from it then, like, it's one of these things that it hides the process so well, because you just like, oh, but like, have you ever seen a Stroop test? Like, think of a color. I'm going to time you, see how many times you can count it on there. And they don't tell you. So you go, okay, cool. And now you can leave it and go back. Say, oh, okay, that's a Stroop. That's pretty difficult. But now you have this piece of information that they really don't feel like there's any way you should be able to know. And you can use it later on to be further ahead in other routines, as well as just flat out revealing it, which is fucking bonkers. But the other uses for it are, like, I think, a really, like, the exciting part of the project. But yeah, it's really easy to do. It sits in your wallet. It's like a bit of a it's a perfect EDC because as long as you've taken your wallet out with you for the day, then you'll have it and you can just do it at a moment's notice. Very, very clever shit.
Right.
Very clever.
Really good.
Honestly, yeah, it's great. Like, imagine if you're doing like Rubik's Cube magic, and you have some. You're like, oh, have you? You know, if you talk, because Rubik's Cube are kind of like science based in interest and kind of stuff. So it fits really nicely in with that. So, for example, you could talk about the Stroop test. They could think of a color, and then you secretly attain that knowledge without them realizing. And then you can go into your favorite Rubik's Cube routine and solve just that colored side. You can use it for name place routines. You can use it for one ahead. You can use it to reveal a memory or an image or a painting. Like if you do Pete Turner's image painting reveal, you know the one about the beach scene thing. you can use it in so many different ways, just from this literally just a fucking business card that sits in your wallet. Sick. Yeah, it's great. It's really, really great.
That's amazing.
I hope I haven't given too much away without it being officially launched, but yeah, I love it. I really love it.
Amazing. That's great. Well, I didn't know any of that. And very quickly, because I know we've got to cut the podcast short this week. But hey, you motherfuckers, just be glad that you've got one. I know we're not really talking about Blackpool, but what was your highlight of the Blackpool Magic Convention? I know you spent a while there around the
fuck. What was yours?
Going to bed after it. No. I mean, the thing that I'm going to gig the most is Bricked by Drew Perry. Bricked is amazing.
I was thinking about that the night before last. I think it might be the best trick released at Blackpool in terms of like full practicality,
yep,
worker, something yep, a bit different,
yep,
interesting. I think overall best trick of Blackpool possibly.
Yeah, I think Bricked was. I know everybody was going nuts over Crazy Sam's Mind. And Crazy Sam was fucking pissing me off the entire convention because he was showing stuff to me with every type of prop that I just didn't understand. He was blowing
me. He's from the future, that guy. Like, he really is the next big thing. What the fuck? Where was he hiding?
I have no idea. Like, you know, he's brought a couple of stuff out, but he's not really somebody I've really paid too much attention to. And then after Blackpool, I'm like, my God, I've never been fooled as much in my life with stuff that I'm good at. He was fooling me with coin tricks. He was fooling me with Rubik's Cube solves. He was fooling me with card routines. He was fooling me with everything, rubber band stuff. He was just taking props that I know that I've spent 30 years working with. And he was fucking my head up.
Do you know what's really interesting is that two of my family members, non-magicians, watched the Blackpool video because they're kind of interested in what I do and shit. Both of them, of their own volition, separate incidents, said that the best trick in the entire video was the exploding potato chip.
There you go.
Both of them, without question, said, oh, I watched your video on Blackpool. It looks so much fun. What the fuck was that trick where they made the crisp explode? That was incredible. So take from that what you will. But if that's the type of shit that regular people are enjoying, maybe that's the type of shit that we should be performing.
Well, we need to listen to our audiences more, Lloyd. Sometimes we perform magic because we think that they're going to like it, but that's not always the case.
Yeah. It is important to perform magic that you enjoy as well. I remember like Tony Chang paraphrasing something he said to me once in New York. But yeah, it is interesting to see what captures people's attention. I think it was... Possibly Paul Rothman, or I'm getting someone, the person who worked on the Harry Potter, the practical magic for Harry Potter films, they did an EMC conference lecture. Remember those things? Yeah. And they did a poll. Their lecture was like they did a poll on the general public, and the number one type of magic which was best enjoyed was moving objects, like floating or moving things. So they like focused on that for the movie. So yeah, when I see like Leviosa and those tricks with like floating rubber bands, even it's just completely not my style of magic, but it does make me feel like, oh, maybe I should start dipping my toe into the water of it, if people just love it that much.
Yeah, I think so.
I don't know.
I just see
food for thought, isn't it?
I mean, you look at it, like, I've never been a big thread user. I've never been a big thread user. And
I imagine you're too clumsy.
Well, there's that. But there's also the fact that, like, I kind of look at thread-based magic, which is always done. It's a little bit different if it's an animation, but if it's a levitation, I kind of look at it and I think, well, the one obvious solution to this is what it has to be. And
yeah,
good magic. If the spectator has one thought, because that's when a lot of the time you see spectators levitate. You see magicians levitate, and you ask a layman afterwards, how do you think they did it? They're going to go, oh, thread. Even if they haven't seen the thread, they're going to think that's the way of doing it. And I've always thought that way for years and years and years. And then Ryland really seriously got into stage magic, obviously. And he does like the flying linking rings. He does the dancing cane. In his Harry Potter act, he has this handkerchief flying all around the stage. And I've listened to audiences afterwards, and they all just go, oh my God, my favorite part was when that thing was floating and that thing was levitating.
They just enjoy seeing it, whether they care how it's done or know how it's done.
Yeah, maybe. I think that's it. I think the thing that people associate with magicians. I think you just think...
Well, like, look at David Copperfield floating. I don't know. I remember when I was younger and the talk of it, like the, you know, the whispers of it and more like the legend of it. From globally, you'd read on like internet forums before I was into like magic forums and stuff, and you'd be hear about things that like he could really, really float. And you know, you can't float, but yeah, people like wanted to believe,
yeah,
in a way. I don't know, so yeah, but I like Daniel Garcia's approach to it. On there was a 3 DVD set called Loops. Him Kranzo and Justin Miller, and he had a trick called Life, where a dollar bill self animates into an origami butterfly, and then just for like half a second it just floats from like one fingertip to the other, just long enough to know that it wasn't falling through the air, but not long enough to think to know if it was floating or not. And I think that's like the perfect approach, where it just makes you question the reality of what you've seen. And I think in that circumstance, you just don't assume that it's using thread off the bat, because it's just like, oh, did that just, oh my God, that was amazing. What the fuck? As opposed to, oh, right, I could just see it dangling there. you know, subtle, the devil is in the details, you know, the subtle nuances. If I was to do it, it would just be something along those lines, just a small moment that makes you go, what the fuck? I don't even know if I've seen that then. Then proceed on, possibly. But I'd need to get I don't have any invisible thread. I'm not kidding. I'm not even going to buy some of mine.
That's what I want to see. I want to see Lloyd Barnes' complete works with invisible thread.
Did you see the new video I put up yesterday on YouTube?
It's saved into my watch list. It's a ring going onto the pull of the can. That sounds amazing, Lloyd.
It's just ring flight, basically. So you vanish the ring and you pull a Coke can out your back pocket, and it's literally linked onto the ring, onto the tab of it. And I think you might dig it. No, I told you that. I don't know why I brought it up. Well, promotion. Shameless self promotion.
No, you know I love this stuff.
In the final minutes of the episode. So we haven't really talked about new products, have we?
Well, we kind of talked about Mark Lemon stuff. I don't think really got time much to talk about new products. Have you seen anything very quickly that you...
practically typing in Penguin Magic.
It's the place to go.
I've seen that Pretty Penny thing, which looks fucking awesome.
Oh, it's I need to...
What's Transpo level by Louis Olmedo?
Not too sure. Oh, Kids Cards by Richard Pinner has been brought back out again.
That's cool.
I don't know whether you like Kids Cards. I've always loved it. But it's not for a very, very long time. But it's now out again. Anniversary Hearts by Nicholas Lawrence is an interesting trick that Penguin have put out. It is a it's basically an anniversary waltz. The second phase is an anniversary waltz, but the first phase, the heart jumps. You really need to watch the trailer. But
I've seen it. It's phenomenal. It's got Nicholas Lawrence's name on it, and
yeah,
people will love it.
Have you seen Squeeze by James Anthony? Because I didn't see this at Blackpool, but it's now out through all dealers via Murphy's.
No, I haven't.
A lot of people are raving about this. It was in a lot of people's Blackpool blogs. And I watched one of them in the blog, and it looked really good. Have a look at that before you go.
Okay.
Narrate that shit, because I think that looks incredible.
Squeeze. Well, so he's squeezing a card. Let me see. I'm trying to skip through it. Is there a visual in this trailer?
Yeah, there should be. Go to about 1 minute, 20 seconds.
What timestamp?
Oh, hang on. I'm trying to find it myself. The problem is you're not seeing... He hasn't got a performance to camera, really, unfortunately. And he should have done, because on the Blackpool blogs, you saw a performance at his dealer booth and everyone was just like raving about it.
Oh, shit. But anyway, we've got 2 minutes to go, so
you
should have shown it in the trailer.
Good. Have a look at the trailer at some point. Anyway, 2 minutes
I've looked at it, but I can't see it in there unless I'm being...
Yeah, it's really good. It really is good. I think you'd like it. Yeah.
I love James Anthony. And he proper gigs. He proper works. So no doubt it's amazing.
He does.
Can't see the visual.
Well, unfortunately, we have to go.
He gets to go.
We've got to go. But thank you very much for once again joining us on the Magic Podcast. It's very much nice to be back. Are we going to do it next Wednesday, Lloyd?
Yes.
Right. That's his maybe. So, look, if it gets uploaded, if it gets uploaded, you'll see the podcast. Hopefully, we'll be there. It depends on how many projects Lloyd's got to juggle at one time, because he's a very busy man. But we will see you again soon. Lloyd, sign it off.
Have a shit week, you clowns.
Oh, wow. We've gone way more polite than that. Guys, thanks very much for watching the Magic Podcast. Make sure you subscribe to... whichever platform that you use to listen to this, and then you'll be notified when new episodes go up. I'm Craig. This is Lloyd. We will be back very, very soon with another Magic Podcast. Thanks very much for joining us. We'll see you again soon. You look so bored. He's almost falling asleep here.
Bye, y'all.
We apologize for disrupting your normal daily schedule. You may now relax, tuck your deck back in, and resume your regular day-to-day life. Remember to subscribe to be notified the moment each new episode goes live every Wednesday. And join our Facebook group to continue the conversation. The link is in the description to this podcast. Thank you for listening to The Magic Podcast.